Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Radio. Appreciate everybody joining us. Call us up 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody following along. Check us out at redneckinize.com also. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Redneckinize is the name of it. You'll find a link to that at our website, redneckinize.com. Appreciate everybody joining up. It's Monday, the official full week of the year because everybody took last Monday off, you know, and so we're back to it now. This is 5 days on, 2 days off for all you regular people and all you truck drivers, no more holidays to look forward to. I think we got some bank holidays like President's Day and all that. Some kind of, we got Martin Luther King coming up. Yeah, that's, you know, you got to watch out. Some of these shippers, you know, it's funny how we don't take, you know, the holidays really don't affect us as far as driving. You know, you get the freight there when you get it there. And these shippers, sometimes they'll just close. Especially if you go down Laredo. Sometimes Laredo just shuts down. Just, you know, well, Mexico's celebrating a holiday, so the whole city of Laredo will just shut down. I mean, that's the way it is, you know. So that's what we do here at trucking is we just follow what everybody else does because if they don't take the freight, then we don't get paid. So we got to get the freight picked up. We got to get it delivered. And that's what we're all here about here at Redneck and Eyes Radio is all things trucking and then some. Talking about getting life on the road and following up with the rules and everything and trying to stay up to date as far as we can. Just stuff like that. One of the things I will check out for is we've still got the regulations changes coming up. So that's, we'll talk about that a little bit. And then it's, I don't know, just a couple different things happening in the world. All you Cowboy fans out there, prepare to get disappointed. That's all I could say, you know, because I'm one of the biggest Cowboy fans, and even I see the writing on the wall. So get ready for that. Thanks for our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com, or you can give them a call at 800-634-3010. Those guys are great, so check them out. And, yeah, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. Let's get it going.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Leave me.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. That's the call-in number. You can listen along, or you can just push 1 and be part of the conversation and what we're talking about. Life on the road, all things trucking and then some. That's what we're doing. So the other thing I'll talk about, I'm excited too, because, you know, it's a Texas team, is TCU playing Georgia tonight. I love football, and college football is really fun. I really wish they wouldn't play this on a Monday night, especially when I got to work. But, you know, if you truck drivers out there, I know what you're doing. You get parked at the parking at the truck stop, or maybe in a big Walmart parking lot or someplace where there's, like, someplace to go watch a game, and you sit in there and enjoy, maybe get something to eat, maybe even have it a beer. Don't go back to the truck if you got a company that's going to harp on you. You got to watch out for that stuff. So, I remember going in and stop at the truck stop. And they're like, you know what? Ball game's coming on. I'm going to go stop at this truck stop. And you go sit in there, and there ain't a seat to be found. Everybody's in there watching the game. Or you go in there, and the game's not on. And every truck driver in there is like, so the game coming on? Is the game on? Or what's up? You know, so. And there's always some idiot in there taking control of the remote and won't turn the game on. Either that or the lady that's in charge, she won't turn the game on. Things like that. Used to be pretty fun when you actually go into the driver's lounge and, you know, watch what everybody wants to watch. The Petros, remember back in the day when the Petros, man, every Petro you go in, they had a theater and they had a TV room. And it was always really fun. Sometimes, I know the one there in Hammond, Louisiana, up there on Interstate 12, they have a huge theater. And they would actually put a sign up when there's a big football game on like that, like a playoff game or a bowl game like that. And they would actually say, the TV room has been moved, or the theater has been moved to the TV room. The TV room has moved to the theater because there's going to be a ball game on. And they'll put the ball games on in the theater because it's huge. They did that in the old, the Joplin Petro. Is that what it's still called? Yeah. Before they remodeled it, they used to have a huge theater. They might still do. I'm not real sure. I just remember going there for the Super Bowl one time, and it was like a big movie theater. Like, it was had huge, tons of seats. And it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. It was just, you know, good camaraderie. Everybody got along. Nobody got into any arguments or anything like that, and everybody just enjoying the game. And there was a consensus. If you were in there disrupting anybody, everybody just told you to get out, you know, go do something, you know, things like that. So that gave you a lot of hope. If you sat there and watched the game with everybody like that, it gave you a lot of hope because everybody got along. But as soon as they got back to the trucks, oh, man, CB Rambo started back up again. Oh, man. But anyway, so what we're talking about here is that there is a regulation change that the FMCSA is looking to take into effect here. They are in the commenting phase of it, and it will be up around the first of the month. And nobody's really talking about it. Nobody really cares. It's a rule change for the emergency exemptions. And we talked about this a couple of times on here. What we said is that, you know, there shouldn't be any exemptions at all. Okay. And that what they're doing is they're trying to modify it to where, see, I guess the current rule is when they put in an emergency exemption, it just exempts everything for 30 days. And there is no rule that says they can do what they want. Now what they're trying to do is they're trying to change it to where we can choose what rules to exempt, and then it'll be just for like driving or weight. I didn't know, but according to this rule document, they're saying that when there is an exemption, the exemption applies to like all of the employment screening, drug testing, all that stuff. And I don't think that's accurate, but, you know, that's what they do. Of course, the companies don't do it. You know, I mean, when we see a big company out there using these emergency exemptions to their advantage, they're not gonna do the drug test. They're like, oh yeah, you had a bad drug test. It's okay. We're under an exemption right now, so you're all right. No, they're not gonna do that. So, but they, what they are gonna do is say, you know, this load got picked up. You can deliver it as soon as you get there. So you need to drive all night. You know, even if you're tired, go ahead and do it. You know, that kind of thing. And of course, they're never gonna say, you know, because here's the thing: a lot of truck drivers, they fear that, or they feel that they should be obligated to, you know, oblige the company and do good for the company. I want to make the company proud. I want to make a lot of money. And when the company says I can drive, okay? But the problem is that as soon as something bad happens, okay, you have an accident. And it may not even be your fault. Here's the problem with it is that in the trucking industry, you can be driving. Let's say that you've got an exemption where you can drive over your 11, so you're in your 12th or 13th hour of driving, and there is no law saying that you can't do that because you're under an emergency exemption. But then somebody hits you. You didn't do anything wrong. You're just going down the highway doing something that you are legally obligated or obliged to do. You were okay to do it. You were just fine. Somebody hits you. Another truck or a car crosses a median. A car rear ends you. A car comes into you. You know, anything like that. And you did nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. Okay? They're still going to go over you with a fine-tooth comb microscope and find anything and you can do. And if you were over your hours, what they're going to say is that, yeah, but you shouldn't have done that. I mean, you know, it's going to happen. Okay? In the trucking industry, the motto is that you are guilty till proven innocent. That is the motto of the trucking industry. And don't ever let anybody tell you different. Okay? Yeah, I'm just don't even get me started. All right? Anything you do, if you thought it was the right thing to do, if it was the noble thing to do for the company, if it was good for production, anything like that, and then something happens and you didn't do anything wrong, they're still going to come down on you. They'll always come down on you. You are the easy one. You are the scapegoat. Okay? Because if they say, you know, it'd look pretty good if you got there in the morning and you drove all night and something bad happened, and they're never going to say that they did that. Okay? There's a reason why that there were dispatch catchers sold in truck stops where they were like recording devices, mini tape recorders with like an extra attachment that would attach to the phone and would record phone conversations. Okay? There's a reason why those things were invented. Okay? And I mean, they might even still be sold right now, but up until the time that cell phones became the normal thing, when you had to use a pay phone or some kind of other phone other than a cell phone, those were the things that they were being sold all the time. I mean, I remember, I mean, I don't, I mean, I don't know. I still see them in the truck stops. I might have to go look for one, but I can see them. I find them. So they're there. And then when Qualcomm's came around, you know, it was so funny to me because I remember a driver, always did that. He did it. Oh, man, whatever you need, boss, whatever you need. That's good. You tell me. You know, what do you want me to do? Well, we would never say it. You know, you never say it on the Qualcomm. You never put on the Qualcomm, drive all night, get it there by morning. Nothing like that. Okay? But every now and then you'd get a message across the Qualcomm that says, call me. You know, and even those messages, I would tell dispatchers and all that. I said, don't put that message in there. Because as soon as you say, call me, anybody that's trying to, you know, if I was the truck driver, I would immediately point to that message and says, he told me to call him. And I called him, and that's when he told me to break the law. And, you know, he's covered. People still do it. So, you know, I mean, and I'll tell you this right now, Qualcomm's were really a trucker's best friend when it came to the messages and the dispatchers telling you what to do. Now, when they were trying to coordinate your logbooks to the Qualcomm, that wasn't a good thing. When they were trying to track your speed or all that stuff, that wasn't a good thing. But when it was time to receive and send and receive messages between the dispatchers, you know, that was a good thing. You tell them. I always told, and I was a trainer for Swift for a while, and I told the students, I told the guys, I said, you make sure anything you want them, anything they want you to do that you don't feel comfortable doing, you tell them you tell them on the Qualcomm, I don't feel safe doing that. And you get them to tell you, and then when they say call me, you tell them no. I mean, I've done that. I've ticked a lot of dispatchers off when I would say, you know, no, I don't feel right doing that. I'm not doing it. And they're like, call me. They're like, no, I ain't calling you. I told them. I said, I ain't calling you. You know, over the Qualcomm. It's in the Qualcomm. It's there for life. They cannot delete those messages. The only people that can delete them are the higher-ups, which if you work for a really small company, then you're screwed anyway. You know, I mean, there's small companies out there. They change the e-logs. So, but the emergency exemption is what they're talking about. The emergency exemption is they're wanting to change that so they can modify it. And really what the comment should be saying is that there shouldn't be any emergency exemption ever. Because if safety, if the rule, if you ask the FMCSA, why are these rules in place? Is there a rule that says that I can, you know, that I have to have, that none of the airlines can be touching? You know, if that's a rule in the book, why is that there for? And they're like, well, it's for safety reasons. I said, okay, but you go out there and you check it. Like we've always said, airlines are touching. You know, nobody says anything. But they got the little plastic separators about every two or three feet, but they're twisted, you know, and all that stuff. So, you know, you can't really say anything that you're doing the best you can, but it is in there. So, you know, there's tons and tons of drivers out there. I mean, the airlines that go from the truck to the trailer, you know, those are all wrapped up together. They actually sell them that way. So ain't no telling, you know, is there a rule for that? You know, they just have it in there, you know, and they say it's for safety. You know, well, then if it's for safety, then it should be exempted. There shouldn't be any exemption. You know, well, how come I can't drive 12 hours if I feel good enough to drive 12 or 13 hours, why can't I? Well, it's for safety. It goes, well, then no, don't expect me to drive 12 to 13 hours in an exemption because it's unsafe. You know, that's the thing. So that's the way it's all about, and that's the way they're talking about. And it's a good time. I mean, there's nobody commenting on it. Of course, nobody cares. You know, nobody follows it. Nobody keeps track. Nobody does anything. Everybody's just trying to make ends meet. That's all they're trying to do, which I don't blame you for it. But, hey, you know, everybody sits there, and they sit there and complain. And then when there's actually something that can be said, a format where you can actually get something done, nobody does anything. So don't go crying when they change everything. I mean, they've been changing everything for the bad for the last, 10, 15 years. And OIDA says they're right there on the front lines, but whatever. I don't see it. But, again, you know, this is the format that they've chosen. This is the format that our elected leaders have supported. So this is the way we do it. There's been a lot of rules. Actually, if you follow the news, a lot of rules have been turned over. Like they said, you can't implement those rules because you got to go through the process. So, you know, the case in point is the bump stock ban on the firearms. Trump put the bump stock ban in place. You know, the ATF said, you know, we can't sell those anymore, and the court struck it down. And basically because they didn't follow the process. They just, you know, executive order. It's like, no, that's not how it works. You know, so now they got to go through the process and a lot of commenting period. And of course, everybody's going to comment about that. But I mean, that's the way the system works. So we got to let the system work if you support the system. But if you're not going to participate, then you can't complain when it doesn't go your way. So that's it. About that. So yeah, you can go there. It's regulations.gov/docket/FMCSA-2022-0028. And we'll share it on our Twitter and Facebook. And we'll get it out there the best we can to allow everybody to go in there and comment. That's what you got to do. You got to go comment. And we'll do the best we can. That's how it gets done. That's how we get things done. That's how we get things solved. And that's the way it goes, because that's the only thing we got is we got the system. And when the system breaks down and don't work, then what's the use? So, you know, that's the one thing I supported about the holdout for the speakership is that I don't think the system works very well. Best thing to do, tear it down, rebuild it. And you see, Republicans caved because that's what they do. Democrats are crazy and Republicans are wimps. And that's the way it goes. If you don't believe me, go watch the news. That's the way it goes. So, in fact, I'm just looking at a tweet right now from one of the Congress people that they They'll vote on rules packages that we negotiated last week. The rules packages will help ensure that the 118th Congress is the most effective in the generation. You know, and they did it all behind closed doors and everything, so we don't know exactly what the rules are until they vote on them. Yep, crazy stuff. But yeah, tell us what you think. 515-602-9731. We're going to thank one of our other great sponsors again. That's Trucker Tools. You can check them out at truckertools.com. That's one of those all-in-one apps where you can track freight, book freight. You can even plan your route. If you go in there and you can look for truck stops, you can look for fuel stops, you can look for parking, you can look for Walmarts, all that to help you figure out where you're going to stop for the night, you know, and route it to you, route it for you. They got the mapping software in there and everything. I think they even merge it over to the one you use while stopping, whatever it is. But yeah, check it out. TruckerTools.com is their website. You can download their app from any app store from your phone. So check it out. Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. And like I said, we got a couple other things to talk about. We appreciate everybody joining along for Hang Tight. This is Redneck and I's Radio.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
True in the end.
Radio. You give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along. And we just got a couple things to talk about. And we've been talking about all things trucking and then some. That's what we do here at Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And that's just, you can find the link to that at our website. That is redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody doing that. So, like I said, we've been talking about the exemptions and of course, getting ready for the new year in January and all that good stuff like that. And, yep. So what do you got to say? 515-602-9731. Let me know. Let's go to the phones. Hey, good evening there, sir.
How you doing, Osa?
Yeah, yep. Getting through it.
I hear you. Well, okay. Courting systems. Would that have been the dispatch buster, I believe they called it, had a little suction cup microphone that stuck to the receiver on the phone, recorded everything they told you, everything you told them.
Yep, that's it. I remember still seeing those, you know, I mean, I think it was like in the last maybe year or two that I still saw those being sold.
Maybe. I haven't saw one for a while, but yeah, there was. Well, I don't know. They might have different names for it. The ones I saw you see was Dispatch Buster. And it was back in the late 80s, early 90s when them come out. But then again, like you said, with cell phones, technology with cell phones and the Qualcomm, that pretty much put an end to them because, yeah, if you had a lick of common sense, you tell them, just send it to me on the Qualcomm. Tell me what you want me to do on the Qualcomm. Well, I never run a Qualcomm much. I think maybe the whole time Qualcomm's was around, I worked for one company, I think, to have one. I lasted about 3 months there. I said, oh, no, I can't do this. That was about like the e-logs. I couldn't do that either. No, I'm done with that. But either or. I mean, but as far as the exemptions, like you said, everybody wants to complain, gripe and complain, but you know, they don't want to comment. And then as soon as the rules goes down and everything changes, they're going to be the first ones that are saying, well, this is BS. I don't want to do that. That's not right. Well, you had your chance to speak your mind, and you didn't do it. So take it for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, take it for what it is. You're getting exactly what you asked for. If you don't, I mean, well, for the most part, it don't do you any good to comment because they're going to do what they want to do anyhow. But at least you can say you tried.
That's true. I mean, I remember back in the day when they changed that, they gave us that 14-hour clock, and everybody said, no, that ain't no good. And they had a listening session, and they said, we're going to change it because the court said we have to change it. So we're going to change it. So what do you think we're going to change it to? And you go, well, get rid of the 14-hour clock. That's what we want to do and all that. And then they come out, and they said, no, we're not getting rid of the 14-hour clock. In fact, we're going to make it to where you have to take a break. Like, that's not what we wanted. You know, so, yeah, you're right. They're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Yeah, it don't do any good, but, yeah. But, yeah, just like Glida, yeah, they're always on top of things. They're going to make a change, and they don't do nothing either. All the trucking associations, we've had that conversation. Every state just about in the door 48 that I know of has got their own trucking association, Ohio, Indiana, you name it, man. I mean, the ATA, you know, OIDA, you know. All it is a money grab, man. Give me your money, and we'll tell you what you want to hear. But we're not going to do nothing for you. But we'll work with you.
Exactly.
We'll make you think we're going to do something for you. Yeah, I don't know. All I need is about 5 or 6 more years. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah.
If it goes that long, and it's somebody else's ball game, man.
Well, then you make it there, and you're like, all right, now call up the Social Security Department, tell them to send that check. Oh, yeah, we forgot to tell you, we're broke over here, so we don't have any Social Security to send you.
That's going to be about what it is, too.
Yep.
I got money right now. He's out at sea. He's 60, what is he, 62, I think now. He said, I'm out. He's counting it down. He said 4 months, 5 months. He said he's going to try to hold into March or April.
Yep.
About March or first April, and he said, I'm done. I said, 62? He said, $1,500. He said, it ain't nothing, but he said, you know what? He said, I'm not doing this no longer either. He said, I'm tired of it. He said, I try to hold out any longer. He said, who knows? I might miss out on any of it. I won't get any then. I said, well, four times not, probably not.
Yep. Yep. And
I don't know.
Yeah, I tend to agree that it's going to be scary because, I mean, where it's going to come down, we can't, the government ain't going to have no money. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's so funny to me how all of these politicians, look at Trump, he's supposed to be a billionaire and he spent all that money and he claimed on his taxes and all that. And then one guy, I remember he put on there and he says, you know what they found? You know what the shocking information that they found on Donald Trump's tax returns? He absolutely did not break any laws.
Right.
And then, they get on there and then talk about how he claims to be a billionaire, but he's in the red. He's claiming that he lost a bunch of money. I was like, yeah, exactly like you're doing for the U.S. government. You don't have any money, and you're out there talking up a bunch of game.
That's right. It's exactly right. He didn't do anything that nobody else did. Them loopholes was put in there by the IRS and that. They put all these loopholes in there, and all he did was use the loopholes to his benefit, just like every one of us do. I'll be quite honest with you. I do. If there's a loophole there and I can find it, I'm going to use it.
That's right.
Government's going to cheat me, try to beat me out of my socks. I'm going to try to get them any way I can, too.
What it boils down to is, you know, he said that in the campaign. I don't know if y'all remember that, about how, you know, people say, well, you file bankruptcy a lot and all that. And he said, well, the law's there. That's why you use it. It's because when things don't
that's
go
right.
your way, you file bankruptcy. And then they were like, how come you got all this money? And he's like, well, you know, sometimes you go to the bank and you give them a good idea and they give you money. You know, and that's leveraging debt. And that's exactly what the federal government does. They leverage debt. They say, we actually pay our debts so we could tell them, hey, we're not going to pay you back like a lot of money this year. And we get to set the terms every year. We get to say, you know, hey, we're not going to pay you back every year. But we'll pay you back. And as long as they say that they'll pay you back, then the people are going to still buy those bonds. And people that are buying those bonds are all these ultra billionaires that have hundreds of billions of dollars. And they just, you know, they got to find a place to put their money. That way they don't get taxed on it. And they just put it back into the federal government. They buy the bonds, you know. So, you know, China does that too. China's trying to leverage power over the United States by buying a lot of their debt that they really don't have. They don't have the money either.
Right. Nobody does.
No, nobody has any money, you know.
Nope.
I don't know why. I don't know if anybody saw it coming back in the 70s when Nixon took everybody off the gold standard. But, that, you know, somebody should have saw that coming. Like, you know, you got to have something. You got to have something. In order to have money, you know, you got to have something.
Yep.
You know, so yeah. Yeah, it's a bad deal, you know. I mean, you see it now.
It's in a downward spiral right now.
You see it now. Ever since you bought that house, it's always been better for you to own that house than it was just to have rent or anything because you had something.
Exactly.
You had something.
But owning a house, hey, you're never done paying. Because it's like everything else. You never truly own your property or your house or anything. You never truly own that home. Because 1 year you don't pay your property tax, or you
That's
don't pay
true.
Your debt, you're done. The government takes it.
Yep.
Or the state, or the kind of city, whatever. If you don't pay your taxes, you lose that. You don't ever own nothing.
Did you catch up on 1923 already?
No, I haven't.
Did you see the one where they were in town and the guy was showing them the dishwasher and the refrigerator? Did you see that one at all? No.
I didn't.
No. Yeah, that was a good part because you know that this is in the 20s.
I need to start watching it. I just haven't. I don't know.
Yeah, the electricity is it's in the 20s. Electricity is new. Not everybody has it. And the electric company said, "Well, you pay us money, and we'll run the electricity out to your house, and then you can have all these other items: a washer, a clothes washer, and a refrigerator, an ice box." And all that. And he's like, well, how much are those? And he goes, well, we rent those. So you pay to run the electricity, and then you rent the devices. You rent those things. You never really own them. Which basically what you're doing is you're paying for the electricity. Instead of like now, we actually have a company that turns off the power, and that. So yeah, it's just like it isn't. And the one guy said, well, then we end up working for you and not working for ourselves. And I'm like, man, it just hit home right there. Boom. It's like all this stuff that we got to have. And just like now, like you say, with property taxes, it never ends. You're not working for yourself. You're working to pay that guy off,
That's right.
Yep. Instead of putting a new roof on the house or making sure that the pipes are working good and all that, that's all your money goes into paying off the people that are trying to take it from you.
And it wouldn't be so bad. The property tax, if they kept it, reasonable, it wouldn't be so bad. I mean, it's bad either way you put it, but it wouldn't be so bad. But then every time you make an improvement to that home, where it
That's
be
right.
like we did, a new roof, new windows, new the old landscape, whatever, and do everything, the better your home looks, the more then they reassess it. Now the more you pay in taxes.
Isn't that something?
But if you junk it all up and pile a bunch of garbage and stuff around it or tear one side of it off, don't put siding on what's whether that property ain't worth much because it's under renovation. I can show you three or four homes right around us that's been under renovation for the last 30 damn years, and they never finished it. They it's a beautiful home, but they never finished putting the siding on the back side of the house. You don't see it from the road. So they never put the siding on it. Well, if they don't do that, it's got Tyvek on the back of it, and as long as it isn't completed, they won't reassess it. Their taxes don't go up. As soon as they finish putting that siding on there, their taxes go up. So they say, we leave it alone.
Yep.
So, I mean, just like us, our taxes weren't that bad, but, right there where we're at, they're like $1,100 or $1,200 a year for our house, I think. Don't quote me on it, but I think that's what it is. And, that was under the old ones. Now, since we did, we put that new roof on, new windows, we done a bunch of work, and around our new patio out back and all the improvements that we've done, cut a bunch of trees, that stuff. So we improved the property, made it look better. The value went up. Now they're going to reassess it. It's going to go sky high again.
Yep.
But what do you do? I'm not going to live, I can't live in a dump, it's not me.
Yeah, no, I know people that where I grew up, they did improvements to the inside of their house, and they paid cash for it, and then you'd ask them, you say, does that affect the value? And he's like, well, as long as they don't know I did it. It's like, as long as
That's
nobody comes
true.
In there and wants to look at it, so as long as it's just the inside and they can't see it, then they'll, they won't have to reassess it, but you're right, it's when the outside looks better.
Don't say that too loud because she's already been on me trying to get me to start the inside of it now. She wants new flooring put down in the bathroom and the dining room or the kitchen and new carpet in a couple of the rooms. I'm like, oh, really? But it is what it is, I guess.
Hmm.
I mean, I told her, I kept telling her all summer, that's a winter project. Well, winter's here, now I'm trying to figure out some way to get it turned into a summer project. And then some. But,
oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where it's all going. It's just, barely, the eyes have been stuff just trying to keep up with the truck and stuff going on here. And, I mean, weather hasn't been real bad. We had a couple days of real nasty, bitter cold, the wind chills down below, down in the, -30, -40, but that ain't warmed back up, and it actually hasn't been bad around here. It's been the upper 30s, 40s. It hasn't been bad up home here, but
yeah, California's
chilly the next couple of few days.
they're evacuating California. California is getting flooded. And, of course, everybody complains, no rain. And then next thing you know, they're getting tons and tons of rain out there, and it's got mudslides and stuff like that. Of course, all these rich people, you know, they're all crying. But
I'm so sorry.
I know, right? Yep. And of course, you know, when their governor and their mayors and all those, they go on vacation and nobody says nothing. Nobody cares. But as soon as Ted Cruz decides he's going to go to Mexico, everybody's like, what is he doing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then you get Nancy Pelosi. She shitted her city up, and then she went to Florida and bought a big home.
Yeah. See? Yep. I mean, it's so funny. So today, one of the things I saw, you know, we had this football player get hurt, and everybody got behind him and everything like that. And a lot of the football players, so we had a defensive player for the Cowboys, and he was really upset because what he said is that if you do this job as a football player just for your own, like, stats and Pro Bowls and money, then you just need to get out because we got no place for that here. And it's one of those things that it just dawned on me that politicians right there, if you do that job and you benefit like that, if you get that extra little campaign donations and the perks of all that stuff where you get the VIP treatment and all that, if that's what the reason why you're doing it, just go ahead and just get out. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know, the problem with politics is that, you know, it's based on just lying to people. That's basically all it is. And basically people just say, oh, you can't do that. And it's like, but they're doing it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody is benefiting themselves. You know, I mean, they get a salary, but yet they never spend that salary. All, you know, it just, you know, they have homes in multiple states. They take their aircraft wherever they got to go, and it's all paid for by the campaign or whatever. You know, it's kind of like just what we talked about with tax deductions, you know. It's like, well, let's go to dinner. And he's like, well, who's paying? He's like, well, the company's paying. He goes, why is the company? Well, are we talking about company business? He goes, well, not really. Well, we just talked about company business. You know, it's kind of like, as long as you just say that's what you're doing. I mean, and that's what the politicians do. That's all they do is they do whatever the hell they want. Nobody's accountable for it. And then now there's going to be an implementation of the House. The reason why they held out, a lot of people wanted to vote on term limits. And you know what's so funny is you go on the Facebook and all that, and all the people, they're like, oh, I don't really support term limits. I, you know, the founding fathers didn't put in term limits. And it's like, yeah, the founding fathers, they weren't making $10 million a year. The congressmen weren't making that much money off of just being in Congress all their lives and all that. And they're talking about who's going to be speaker. Well, this one guy, he's been in the House for 10 years. He hasn't been there that long to be speaker. We can't allow him to be speaker. One guy, he got elected back in 2010. We can't let him be speaker. Or this one guy that got elected back in 2016, we can't let him be speaker because he hadn't been there long enough. He's like, what does it matter? You know, so it's so stupid to me. It just,
just like you were saying about the football, you know, when he got hurt the other day or whatever. Okay, I get it. I understand. And it's too bad. It's sad that he did. All right, it happened. All right, he's up. He's recovering. He's doing good. Thank God he is, you know. Nobody wants to see anybody die like that, you know. But now they're getting paid big money to play ball. All right? I get that. I understand it. Now, when you go out, you chose your profession. He chose pro ball as basically as a profession because that's all he's ever going to do. He's not going to go and play ball on the weekends and then go out and flip burgers or sit in an office the rest of the week. No. That's all he does is play football for a living. All right, he's good at it, so he gets paid good to do it. He chose to do that. You chose to drive a truck for a living.
That's right.
All right, a coal miner, a logger, you know, that works in timber, whatever, construction worker, whatever. They chose that profession. They knew going into that profession that they assumed the risk that maybe something bad was going to happen, and they could get killed, they could get injured, you know, and never be able to work again. All right, they assume that. They know going into that there's always that chance. So why is it? I mean, like I said, I'm glad he's doing good, but that's all we've heard about all week. Now, if a truck driver goes out and gets killed, you know, somebody working in the timber or whatever, or the construction worker gets run over by a bulldozer or whatever, you hear about it maybe on the 6 o'clock news, and that's it. You never hear about it again. You never hear about it again. Well, you know, hey, you know, that's its casualties of the job. You know, you knew going into it that there was always that chance you'd get hurt or get killed. But something like that happens, and, you know, look at Paul Pelosi. You know, a guy breaks into their house, smacks him in the head with a hammer. We heard about it for 2-3 months.
Yeah.
You know, what, why? You know, hey, it happened, okay. Try to catch the guy, whatever, be done with it. You know, but why, you know, I don't get it. I just don't understand it, you know, that you I don't know.
Well, that's what it is.
You control your destiny, you know. You assume whatever you decide to do in life, you are control. You're in control of your life. I don't know. I just...
No, I agree.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, so it was really weird to me, and actually I've talked to a lot of people about it, and they were the same way. They were like, you know, I'm sick of, and you know what's so funny? He got released today, so he's out of the hospital.
Yeah.
And everything's fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, and what the deal is we won't know the whole story because of the fact that,
no.
You know, you can't tell people what's wrong with other people. You can't do that. But,
no.
Again, just like you're saying, you know, I mean, they made a big deal about it, and really, a lot of people online and everything got upset because this one guy, you know what he did? He was upset because he was playing that fantasy football, and there were athletes that he was going to win money off of if they did good, but you know the game got canceled, so he didn't win any money. so you know it's kind of like, and they're like, well, how can you think of something like that at a time like this? And it's like, what do you mean? Everybody thinks about it every day. Okay, when you go to the store.
Yep.
And you can't buy nothing. And you're like, how come I can't buy nothing? He goes, well, there was an accident. The tractor trailer had an accident and somebody died. And you're still like, well, then why? Where's my toilet paper? You know, that's all you're thinking about.
Right.
And that's
the
problem.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care.
No. Why are you caring about this guy and not caring about other people? That's my question.
Right.
You know, you don't
that's
know
right.
him. The only, and some people didn't even see it on the TV. Like other people just heard about it.
Just like you said, you know, if you go to the store and there ain't nothing in the store to eat, well, didn't come in because there was an accident or he was sick and he couldn't make it or he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care about that truck driver. I want stuff on my shelf. I've got to eat. I've got to have stuff to take home. You know, well, same there, you know.
Yep.
Why cancel the game? Play the game. You know, that's one player.
Yeah.
You know,
they said that a lot of players were distraught. They were like, they were upset, you know, and it's like, okay, I understand that because we have, you know, you have employees like, oh, my wife's really sick or my grandfather died. You know, hey, take the day off,
right.
Need some time, that's fine. But you know what you do? You still play the game. So if one player says,
right.
No, I can't play. I don't feel right. I don't feel good. Okay, next guy. You got 53 people on the team. You only need 11
right.
on the field at a time. Okay, I don't
right.
care. I don't get it done. You got a job to do. You know, that's
right.
one of the things. You know, it's
tell the coach. Tell the coach. Go suit up.
Exactly. It's you got a job to do, and there's a job to do. And if you want to cancel it. But I mean, there's other things that got to be done. You know, other people.
Right.
I mean, what about all those people that paid those tickets? They're gonna get their money back for the going to the game.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, I would want my money back because these tickets these
right.
days are crazy, crazy expensive. You know, and of course nobody.
Yeah.
Oh, I just hope he's okay. I'm not thinking about that. No, you're thinking about it. Don't say you're not.
Yeah, you're thinking about it. If you ain't thinking about it, then you're not. No.
Yeah, I mean, come on, we're human out here. We're not superhuman.
Right.
You know. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I love it too. I'm not thinking about it like that. I'm thinking, but no, you're thinking about it. I know what you're thinking. You know, because I mean, yeah, it's
yep.
you know, you can be, it's kind of like you saying, I don't want anything bad to happen to the guy, but you know, hey, job's got to get done,
right?
Something's got to happen,
exactly.
You know, I mean, I mean, you know
right after he got hit, first thing they started doing was trying to figure out how they can make the game safer. What can they do to make the game safer?
Exactly.
I got it. just tie ribbons on their side on the belt, man. Let them play flag football.
Yeah.
You know, let's turn it into powder puff.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it is, like you're saying, how you can make a game safer. How about we just don't play? How about we don't do that?
Don't play
and of course, and everybody's like, oh, no, you can't do that because all these people lose money. Oh, wait, how you gonna think about money at a time like this? You know?
Yeah, you don't want to think about money at a time like this. Man, lost his life, you know? So we're going to cancel the game. We're not going to play no more football.
Well, just like Seinfeld said it. He made a joke about it, how we have activities. We have tons of activities that we do as human beings that can crack your head open. Skydiving, jumping off of things, you know, riding a dirt bike or motorcycle or whatever.
Right.
You know, whatever you can do, those things can crack your head open. And he says, and instead of not doing those things, we actually come up with a device that we can put on our heads to keep going with the activity so that it wouldn't crack open our head as bad. But we still get our heads cracked open, but we're still going to go do it. And that's the thing is that these activities, there's a lot of risk in everything. There's risk when you walk out the door. So just,
just like football, all right, they're trying to put, they got helmets, they got pads, they got shoulder pads, they got breastplates, they got everything, they got cups, they got everything.
Yeah.
They got all this safety equipment on. And then you got boxers out there that's out there round after round beating each other brains in with a pair of boxing gloves on. They got nothing on their heads.
What about the UFC? Them guys going out there. You want to talk about a dangerous sport? There you go.
Yeah.
They're out there just literally beating each other bloody. Nobody says anything when one of them gets died. Oh, my God. You know, that's casualties of the sport.
Well,
you know, the
casualty of the sport.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is the Olympics still has boxing, right? But in the Olympics, because they're trying to make it so much safer, and it's supposed to be more amateurs, but we know that's not a word anymore.
That's
everybody's professional. Yeah. But in the Olympics, the gloves actually have to be bigger. They have to have more padding in them.
Right.
And that's why a lot of professionals don't go into the Olympics because of the fact that they don't feel that they hit hard enough because it's not only do they have to have bigger gloves with more padding, but in the Olympics you have to wear that headgear like your spark. So a lot of professionals, you know, they go in trying to knock out and they can't do it because all of that padding, you know, because it's harder to do that. So basically it's all points. And of course professionals, you know, they don't know really how to. A lot of those guys, you know, they're just fighters. They're not actual boxers where they can go in there and they know how to hit and how to not hit so they can get points. They don't know how to do that. They want to go in and just knock each other senseless and all that, you know. And so they don't go into the Olympics boxing because the Olympics says, no, you got to have the headgear. You got to have bigger gloves to make it safer. But then they're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. they're like, nah.
Right.
You know, it's not enough for me like that. And, of course, you know, in these regular deals, they make tons of money. And it's gambling and all that stuff like that, but yeah, it's all about, you know, everybody's like thinking, how can we make it safer? And he goes like, well, let's change it up this way. And he's like, well, we can't do that. Just like the pads in football, okay? There's tons of pads that they can wear, but you go out there right now and you see they're not wearing that stuff. They don't wear like the wide receivers hardly wear anything to protect their legs or their knees. They don't do anything like that. You know, they're out there flying around.
If they suited them up like that, Ed, they'd never be able to move.
Well, that's the thing, you know. If they actually did it. In fact, that was one of the stories. The funny part about watching that one, I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's called The Invincible, where the guy, he was like a regular Joe trying out for the Philadelphia Eagles back in the 70s, and he was really good. And they suited him up, and he wasn't really that good. Once he put on the pads, he wasn't that good because it was heavy and it couldn't move. So then he went in there and he got smaller pads, took the pads out of his legs. And put the smaller shoulder pads on, and they said, "Dude, if you go out there like that, you're going to get killed." And he's like, "Well, if I don't make the team, I'm going to get killed anyway. So, you know, so what difference does it make?"
Right.
You know, so he just went out there and he did better because he took the pads off. So, yeah, I can see, you know. But the thing of it is, though, is that if there wasn't these rules, they'd probably go out there without pads anyway because, you know, they want to do better. They want to make more money. They want to be on TV.
They love the sport.
They love the sport.
If they didn't love what they do, if they didn't love what they do, they wouldn't do it.
Or they, you know, it's it's. I just there's always that some. It doesn't matter what conversation you're having about you know, you're trying to think, well, let's do the right thing. And go, well, if the right thing takes money out of somebody's pocket, that's not the right thing. So just like
look
the safety.
NASCAR.
Oh, yeah.
Look at NASCAR, Ed. I mean, I'm not a big guy. I quit watching NASCAR because it's the same way everything else is. It's got too political. I mean, the car has got to be all the cars got to be the same. All of them's got the same engines. They got to run the same. They got to do this. They got all the safety equipment. They didn't. Now, after Earnhardt got killed, all of a sudden, oh, man, we have to do something. We got to slow the car down. We got to do something to protect the driver. Now they got them strapped in there like they're in a space shuttle, man. The Hans device and all that on their neck to keep them from breaking their neck and whatever. They never used to do that. I mean, I know the cars just got faster, but, you know, hey, they know going into it that there's a risk that there's a chance they could die in that car.
Well, first off, we knew that Earnhardt, he didn't like the restrictor plate crap. We knew that.
Right.
But then also, too, when they came out with the full face helmet, he's like, I ain't wearing that crap. I can't see.
Nope.
You know, so he always had an open face helmet with the goggles. You know,
open face helmet, and they did finally get him to wear goggles, I think. But hell, there for the longest time, he wore aviator glasses.
Exactly. See, so I mean, that and that kind of thing. That's his signature. So you know that kind of thing. So
yep.
What do you call that? Was I think that's what they did too. Was that they said everybody's got to wear full face helmets. Nobody can wear open face helmets anymore. You know, regardless of whether that was the cause of the crash or not. But we got a little bit of time left. I think Robbie's going to come in here and chime in. Of course, he's a racer, so he knows.
He don't want to be.
Yeah.
When I called in, all I heard is Greg saying nobody has control over you. I'm like, oh yeah, you do. You're married now. She got control over you, buddy.
Well, no, I think that was him.
You see where I'm at, don't you? I'm out here in my truck. Hey, nobody. She don't have control over me sitting in the cab of this truck. You
it
just better make sure you make peace before I go back home. That's all.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just talking about how he was going to have to remodel the house. So he's trying to figure out how he can extend that out. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, she kept that on and this and that and this done and that done, all that other stuff, crap taking down, drywall, blah, 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 down the office and everything. I say, hey, that's a winter project. Well, winter's here now. Now I'm trying to figure out how to turn it into a summer project. Well, I'll do it this summer. And then when summer comes, I say, well, it's too nice. There's grass and there's stuff to do outside. We'll do that in the wintertime. That only happens. That only works so many times. And then it don't work no more.
That sounds like a problem. Not my problem.
Mm.
I'm thinking you was coming up the house and staying for a week at a time, man. You could have got a lot of work done up there if you just did it while you was up there instead of sitting there holding that recliner down.
Yeah, I didn't want to make sure the recliner didn't move.
Yeah, I hear you.
I thought it had legs underneath it, so it was going to walk away. So
yeah,
I was helping you out so your furniture doesn't go out the front door or something.
Yeah, the dogs
so
are picking up.
So you guys were talking about the football game that they had to end up canceling because someone got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hamlin.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they're a bunch of that's one reason why we don't watch the NFL or any more of the major sports, like even football. It's they're too much of a little sissy lalas. What I call it. In racing.
Yeah,
there's been people that have died at racing. Yes, it's a very dangerous sport. Yeah, they have them crammed in there like a space shuttle, but there's reasons for it. You know, people have gotten hurt. They've gotten to where these race cars are actually pretty safe now, but every now and then you'll have someone get wrecked or, you know, something in their upper chest will go on them. And they keep going.
But what I'm saying is, Robbie, they know
going.
When they go into that sport, they know going into it that there is a chance that they could get killed or, you know, they could die or get badly injured in that sport. Same way it is with what we're doing right here. When you get in that truck and leave the house, You don't know if you're coming home or not. Every time you get in that truck, it's in the back of my, it has been for years and years for me. When I get in the truck, you don't know if you're coming home or not.
You don't know if it's in the truck or if it's in your personal car going to your truck.
Right.
Or if someone had a Monday through Friday job, even with you, Ed, you can get hurt and end up in the hospital, die on your way to work.
Exactly.
You know, my ex-wife used to tell me when my kids was growing up, she says, you know, everything that they did bad all week, which, you know, kids are kids. Well, when your dad gets home, well, when I get home, she'd start telling me everything they did bad. And then, or they do something before I left. She said, you know, said, you need to beat their ass. I said, that ain't going to happen. She said, why? I said, because. I said, I come home for the weekend or whatever, and then I got to leave again. I said, you think I'm going to pound her ass? Would you know, give them an ass whipping before I leave? And then I go out in the truck, and so I beat their ass. And then I go out in the truck and something happens and I get killed and I don't come back home. I said, the last thing they got to remember me by is the ass whipping I give them before I left. That ain't happening. I said, I'll tell you right now, that ain't happening. I said, say what you want, call what you want. You know, you can scold them, correct them, but no, I'm not, no. And I've been a firm believer in that. I don't, you know, and that's what I say. It don't matter what sport you're in, you know, or what job or profession you got. There's always that chance that you are going to get injured or die in that profession. Don't matter what it is, if it's sports, if it's truck driving, if it's construction. I had a buddy, man, got up one morning, man, him and his wife, you know, they got up. The A-Brack, that way he took off. He worked construction up PA, right there around Mercer. He drove truck for years, hauling cars for Leaseway, when Leaseway was in there. Well, he quit that, and he got a job for PennDOT up there doing construction. He was out working on the highway up there on 80, and a damn dump truck, he was down in there where they cut a chunk of a section of the concrete out, and a dump truck was backing down. They had to dump whatever, had the backup alarm on it. Well, you know, when you work in construction, like, hey, you hear so many backup alarms and stuff in a day, you get to where you don't pay attention to it. Backup alarm, come on, he's down in there doing what he did. Driver didn't see him. He didn't pay attention. He didn't see him. Guy backed over top of him with a damn tandem axle dump truck. PennDOT backed over top of him, crushed him, killed him. Never come home. That bullshit, you know. It don't matter what you do, there's always that risk. So I don't want to hear nobody cry and whine for a month because somebody died or somebody almost died. Hey, if we die, you might hear about it, you might not. But for the most part, they'll say, oh, he was a good guy. My case, they're going to say, oh, he was an asshole anyhow. It doesn't make any difference. You know what I'm saying? You're dead. Dead is dead. Once you're dead, there ain't no coming back. No sense whining and crying about it. You did what you wanted to do while you was alive. You didn't make it. You died. You got in. Whatever. You assumed the risk. You knew what. You knew that that was a possibility. Case in point. Done. It's over with.
There you go. Well.
All right.
Yep. I got
we're out of here.
Cool deal. Yep. Be back tomorrow. Same bat
all
time.
Right.
I'm not sure when I'm working again.
See, there you go.
Yeah. See, it must be nice. Be able to go out by a damn $100-some-thousand trailer, you know, and just sit around and put lights on it and wipe it and wash and wax it and, you know, polish wheels and, you know, let it sit around and look pretty.
Hey, it's sitting good, sitting there looking pretty.
Yeah. He's throwing around and look real good for the repo, man, when you're dragging it up the road. That's about like my drive van sitting over there on the hill. It's sitting there. It ain't moved one foot since I dropped it. When I went back, hooked up to my flat, that trailer has not moved. Matter of fact, the dolly legs have sunk about 4 inches in the ground. I was just thinking the other day I'm going to have to back under it and pick it up and put some boards underneath of it or something because it's sitting there sinking in the ground. All right, guys. I'll call in tomorrow. I'll check in with you tomorrow evening.
Sounds good, bud. All right, now.
Catch you later.
Yep.
Later.
Well, good deal. That's how it's done. This is Redneck and I's Radio Live talking about all things trucking and then some. And then whatever you got going on, let us know. Give us a call. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. for an hour at least. Call in 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1 or you can listen along. Go subscribe to YouTube channel. You can get links to all that to our Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter and all that at our website, redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody doing that for us and following along. And like I said, keep it up. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. Y'all be safe. Stay successful. Keep between the ditches, and we'll be out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and eyes.